Framing the Future, the Second 100 Years of Education for Public Health. Our presenter is Dr. Donna Peterson. Dr. Peterson is Dean of the College of Public Health at the University of South Florida and serves as the chair of the Undergraduate Task Force of the Association of Schools of Public Health. This task force, in cooperation with the Association of American Colleges and Universities, the Association of Prevention Teaching and Research, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has developed a set of public health learning outcomes for all undergraduates in the United States. Dr. Peterson?
Thank you. So that's old news. That's what we did 2 years ago, a year ago. I'm actually chair of the Education Committee for the Association of Schools of Public Health. And with me here today, Dr. Wyckoff from East Tennessee State University is here. And neither he nor I have any financial interest in this enterprise, but we have a lot of passion for what we're doing. This task force came out of the Education Committee. It built on the work of the earlier undergraduate task force, built on ASPH's many years of work in the competency arena, and we said, you know what, we really need to rethink everything that we're doing, given external forces, where the field's going. And so we put this task force together. We started with, I believe, 26 or 27 folks, and it's continued to grow as people have learned about it and wanted to get engaged. And so it's an incredibly diverse group of public health professionals, academicians, different organizations from the Washington, D.C., federal level, state, local, foundations, other employers. It's a terrific, terrific group. We do thank our sponsors, the CDC. Thanks to Marita for mentioning that. And our list of actively engaged partners has grown since our undergraduate days because, again, this kind of work really takes a lot of folks working together, thinking together, planning for the future together, following those eight stages of change because it is challenging. So what motivates us to do this? Well, we know that public health practice and the way we educate public health professionals has changed dramatically since we embarked on this journey back in 1915. I'm sure all of you read the Welsh Girls Report before you go to bed every night, reminded of our historical roots. And at that time, we've been discussing this. That was a very important moment in our history because it really brought to the fore the idea that public health education was important in this country, and it brought a science basis to that. But we know in the past almost 100 years, things have changed pretty dramatically, and a number of movements compel us to act. One is we have watched undergraduate degrees blossom all over the country, and I'll come back to that in a moment. We know that our sister health professions, in large part, are moving to the doctoral degree as the terminal degree, PharmD, DPT, OTD. What might that mean for us in public health? We know that the IOM and other groups have said, you know, it would be really helpful to public health efforts if the public had a deeper understanding of what public health is. And so hence the Learning Outcomes Project, which we did a couple of years ago to create a set of values, content, skills, knowledge that could be utilized in any undergraduate learning environment, whether that's curricular or co-curricular, in an effort to try to educate all undergraduates about public health. We know then, relatedly, our health professions colleagues, as well as other professional groups, architecture, engineering, business, are adding more health content to their curricula for all the reasons that you would expect. And what might that mean for us and our role? We as schools and programs of public health continue to work on behalf of the public's health, of course, but also on behalf of the workforce. And that workforce is changing dramatically. And we also know, thankfully, that all of the dialogue and discussion around healthcare reform and how to have a healthcare system that functions and enables people to enjoy healthcare access and healthcare quality has led to more discussions about, well, how do we, in fact, improve and promote health so that maybe healthcare need could be reduced. And so things that are happening, those kind of discussions around the role of prevention and around population health are all good and contribute to our discussions. We also know There's been a lot of movement to support and promote interprofessional education in the health sector. There are a set of competencies that have now been developed for interprofessional training. This notion of team-based approaches in practice need to begin with team-based approaches in the learning environment. And that has implications for us as well. We know that there's a lot of growing interest in global health. Certainly that's we see that on the part of our students. And we've seen a number of us seek to globalize our curriculum. And again, and finally, as if this isn't enough, the way we educate, the way we teach, the way we use technology, the way we assess competency, the way we seek to personalize the learning experience is all dramatically changing. So this task force was put together with all of that as backdrop to say, what should the next 100 years of public health education look like in this country? We want to set a new vision, and we're using what we call an empty room or a blank slate approach. So we're trying to not just tinker around the edges. We're trying to not rewrite Welch Rose necessarily. We're trying to really rethink what does education in public health need to be for what future? So we're really looking at everything and anything that could be within that sphere. We've talked about a continuum of education. We've talked about different matrix models. But we are looking at, from the undergraduate, actually we're even looking at K-12, but for sure we're looking at what happens in two-year institutions and in four-year institutions. We're rethinking graduate-level education. The growth in undergraduate public health education forces you to rethink graduate education because people are now coming in with a different skill set than they might have come in before. Again, global and interprofessional issues, workplace, workforce preparation, and then credentialing and competencies, of course, drive this. So it's a large group. We can't meet terribly often, so we use all the means at our disposal to engage in conversation and engage others. So we are fanning out across the country. We go to any conference we can stick our foot in the door and have an opportunity to talk with people. We have a website that has everything we do and think about and discuss is posted on that website. We have a blog where we post what we hope are provocative questions and we get some really interesting responses back. And then we use an expert panel model because we can't have that 45-member task force doing all the work. It's too hard. So we assemble expert panels to work on particular areas. So just the first provocative question on the blog, and they're all still up there, and you can go in any time and weigh in on any question, but we started with what should be the essential elements of a newly designed public health education system for the next 100 years. So we're really trying to take an empty room approach and provoke people into thinking in new ways and responding to this. So the first specific task of the task force was to think about undergraduate degrees. And as I mentioned, this came out of an earlier undergraduate task force that chose to create the learning outcomes for all undergraduates because we sort of heard that call and we said that's too good of an opportunity to pass up. That would be too cool if it would actually work. So we did that, but we did that when people were still knocking on the door saying, hey, we've got undergraduate degrees popping up all over the place. We need some guidance from you, the experts. So we put an expert panel together. Dean Wyckoff chaired that panel and came up with just a brilliantly efficient way of getting the work done in an incredibly quick amount of time. So we set some parameters. We quickly developed a draft set of what we called critical component elements. We deliberately didn't call them competencies. We deliberately didn't call them learning outcomes. Critical component elements for undergraduate degrees. We developed a draft set. We had them widely reviewed. We presented them all over the place. We reached a point of convergence, and they were approved in August 2012. You can find them on our website. But here they are. You don't have to go to our website. They are in a series of domains. We start with and remember, this is undergraduate, which for a lot of us is sort of new territory. But we start with the background domains, the basic sciences, both the basic sciences and the social sciences, math and quantitative reasoning skills, humanities and fine arts. And then we added as a background domain information and communication skills, because we thought that was critically important. And then we spent a lot of time thinking about the public health domains. And if you look at this list, understanding public health, providing an overview of public health, of healthcare systems, of human health, of determinants of health, of the data that's important to us, how we implement projects, how we address population health challenges, how we communicate health communication, policy, law, ethics, and economics. What you don't see here biostatistics, epidemiology, environmental health, right? And that was, we didn't have to tell people not to do that. This is what emerged from those very organic discussions. You'll also note here that it doesn't say in any way how this is to be delivered. It doesn't say 3 courses here, 4 courses there, 6 credits here, 2 credits there. It doesn't say in class or online. It doesn't say in the community or on the moon. It just says this is the content that we think is critical for an undergraduate degree in public health. We also then describe the importance of students having a culminating experience that allows them to bring all of this together, and that they be exposed to the field, that they see public health in action, that they meet public health leaders and professionals so that they understand that public health is a profession and how it works. We then, because you can't not talk about all these things, because public health depends a lot on these other skill sets and these other cross-cutting abilities that we need people to have, the ability to be an advocate, to think critically, to understand cultural context, and so on and so forth. So that was our first task. It was handled brilliantly. There's been a lot of enthusiasm for this. It's now out, as I said. Please use it freely. We will now tackle the MPH. And back to that first provocative question, what are the essential elements of an MPH, of a robust, new, bold vision for the MPH? We're also thinking about, again, now that we have described what we believe the undergraduate world should look like, what impact might that have on the MPH? We'll be discussing that. We're looking at the role of community colleges. I didn't know this till I got into this work, that 46% of students who earn degrees from four-year institutions in this country start at community colleges, which means there is a role for community colleges, and we're talking about that. We're also talking about implications for the faculty in our schools. Do we need to have professional development opportunities for our faculty? Do we need to think about how we prepare our PhD and our DRPH students for this new future? And again, we are continually seeking input. We will go anywhere. Anyone can assemble people in a room, and that's all I need. I just need people in a room, a date and a time, and I will come, and we will talk about this. Please visit our website. If you just go to the asph.org website, you can find all of this information, and you can also link to the blog. And again, we post questions. There's guest blogging opportunities, and I really encourage you to get engaged in this.